The text for our meditation this morning is the Old Testament lesson, and I am going to read verses 1 through 4 again. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." This is our text. In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, people, including some Christians, will tell you that what we are about to talk about this morning is just a story, a fable someone made up a long time ago. In fact, they'll say that about all of Genesis chapters 1 through 11. But don't you believe it? What happened in those chapters is just as real as what happened to you and to me yesterday. Genesis chapter 3 is very probably the most tragic chapter of the whole Bible. The first two chapters tell how God created a perfect and sinless world. And then he created Adam and Eve to live in that world and to enjoy all of its blessings. God gave them some very simple commands so that by obeying those commands, Adam and Eve would show God their love for him. But then in chapter 3, everything went haywire. And before it was all over, the sinless world God had created was gone. God brought a curse upon the earth. He brought a curse upon Satan and predicted his total defeat. And he brought a curse upon Adam and Eve and threw them out of the Garden of Eden, that paradise that God had created for them. The events recorded in this chapter brought about the complete undoing of mankind. One mistake brought about a complete change in Adam and Eve. They were never the same again. And because of what they did, we are not what we might have been. Because of the original sin of Adam and Eve, we are corrupt and sinful people by nature. Adam and Eve had a little help as they brought about the ruin of God's creation. Satan, who himself had already defied God and been condemned, came into the Garden of Eden to tempt these two people who were the greatest of God's visible creation. He came to them in the form of a serpent. In his craftiness, Satan worked on bringing Eve and through her also Adam to the same fate which Satan himself now faced. Satan said to Eve, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" With this question, Satan was trying to build a wedge between God and Eve by causing some doubt in her mind as to what God had said. Did God really say that? Are you sure? Did he really mean you couldn't eat from every tree? Eve knew what God had said, and to her credit, she went right to God's command, repeating it both for her own verification and to set Satan straight. "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. But Satan was not about to be stopped by the presence of God's word in his temptation of Eve. Instead, he attacked the truthfulness of God and the motives behind what God had said. His response to Eve was to tell a lie. You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God may have said that you would die, but don't you believe it. It's not true. God is just trying to keep you under his control. You'll be better off if you disobey him. Not only was Satan questioning God's word, he was also portraying God both as being unjust and as depriving Eve of something which would be of great value to her. Eve, God is cheating you out of something you should have. It will make you like God. And he doesn't want you to be like that. Satan was trying to make that sin look like something very desirable. As Eve started to listen to Satan instead of God, she began to lose sight of God's word. She began to doubt that word. She no longer believed what God had told her. Verse 6 of our text says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." The first sin Adam and Eve were guilty of was unbelief. And that unbelief led to disobedience. There was nothing wrong with the fruit of that tree. It was just that God had commanded them not to eat of it. But it looked so good to Eve. And she thought about what Satan had said and about how nice it would be to have this wisdom, which she now thought God was selfishly withholding from her. So she picked some of that fruit and ate it. And then she gave some to Adam, who was right there with her, and he ate it too. The result was a complete disaster. At that moment, Adam and Eve died spiritually. Their close relationship with God came to a sudden end because they had disobeyed him. Instead of wanting to be in his presence, they became afraid of God. The rest of chapter 3 shows just how completely this sin corrupted them and changed their lives. Yet we also see God's mercy and love as he brings them consolation through his curse of the serpent in verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In Romans 5, verse 12, from our epistle lesson, St. Paul tells how that sin in the Garden of Eden has affected the rest of the human race. He wrote, "Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Adam's sin has brought both physical and spiritual death to all of mankind because, as Paul says, all of mankind sinned through the sin of Adam. We are all guilty of that sin. Sin has so corrupted us that we can do nothing of ourselves which is not sinful. Yet you and I have trouble understanding that. We often think of ourselves as pretty good people. But that is because our human minds are so corrupted by sin that we don't realize how sinful we are. The deeds which we think are our very best good works are so tainted by sin that God says that they are like dirty, rotten, filthy rags in His sight. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, God tells us just how good our own plans and actions are in His eyes. He says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." All that we plan and do without God is so sinful that it can only bring us death. And yet we think that it is so good that God will surely have to sit up and take notice of how good we are. Yet the point is that we are not good at all. The original sin of Adam and Eve has corrupted us completely. We don't love God as we should. We don't love our neighbor as we should. Much of what we do is done to bring us honor and glory when it should be done to bring honor and glory to God alone. Our human nature is so sinful and corrupt that we think we are good. But in Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus makes very clear how bad we are and what comes out of our sinful human nature as He says, "Out of the heart, out of that sinful human nature, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thefts, fornications, false witness, blasphemies." Now we could sit back and pass the blame for our sinfulness on Adam and Eve, but it is our sin. Adam and Eve tried to pass the responsibility for their sin off to someone else too. But God would not allow it. If we didn't enjoy sinning so much, we wouldn't do it. But sin appeals to our sinful nature. We can't claim that it's someone else's fault that we sin. It is our own fault. And God will not let us shirk the responsibility we must take for our sins. So why did Adam and Eve want to pass the responsibility for sin onto others? It was for the same reason that you and I try to do the same thing. We know what God thinks of sin. He condemns sin of every kind. In Ezekiel 18, verse 20, God condemns all who sin to death and says that each person is responsible for his own sins. He says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." In the New Testament, God says the same thing. In Romans 6, verse 23, God says through Paul, "The wages of sin is death." God will not simply ignore sin. Sin brings death, and we have all sinned against God. There isn't one person here who can honestly say they have not sinned. John writes in 1 John, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. To say that we have not sinned is a sin in itself." Adam and Eve fell under the curse of sin when they sinned, and that sin alone has brought us under the same curse, not to mention what our own sins have earned us. However, God did not leave Adam and Eve to despair over what happened to them. Instead, he gave them hope by promising a Messiah, one who would crush both Satan and death, and who would save them from their sins. That hope and salvation God gave to Adam and Eve has also been given to us. The same Messiah who would come to save Adam and Eve from their sins was also going to come to save us from our sins. Adam and Eve didn't know who this Messiah would be or when he would come, but they trusted God's promise that for the sake of that Messiah, they would be rescued from the curse of death. The Messiah was finally revealed to mankind to be Jesus of Nazareth. God sent him to suffer the penalty for the sins of Adam and Eve and for the sins of each one of us. He came to rescue us from eternal death, a death which we richly deserve, and to win for us eternal life. Paul compares what Adam caused for mankind with what Christ won for mankind in Romans 5, calling Adam a type of Christ. In verses 18 and 19, Paul writes, through Adam's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's, through Jesus Christ's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many shall be made righteous. Christ came to undo what Adam and Eve caused for mankind and to give us sinners hope. Through his suffering, death, and resurrection, he has done just that. Now there is hope for all who have sinned, and that hope is centered squarely on Christ. In Hebrews 4, the Apostle Paul points us to Jesus as our high priest and mediator with the Heavenly Father and the source of our salvation from all sin. He writes, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We come to God's throne of grace and find that forgiveness and salvation as we look to Jesus Christ by faith as our Redeemer from sin. We come to God's throne of grace and faith as we combat the temptations in the same way that Jesus did as he faced the devil's temptations in our gospel lesson. There he declared to Satan, It is written in God's word, written in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, written and is still true today. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We go to God's throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need as we hear God's promise of spiritual life and salvation in Jesus Christ through his holy word and sacraments. There we hear and receive those spiritual gifts Jesus won for us. Gifts that will ultimately undo and destroy all that the curse for sin has caused. May God, through his law, continually remind us of what sinful people we are. And at the same time, through his gospel promises, may he bring us comfort and hope in the knowledge that for Jesus' sake, our sins have been forgiven and the curse of death removed. Amen.